Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed the people. After praising Allah, he said, O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth and revealed his book upon him. And in that book is an ayah regarding the law concerning punishment of a crime that we recited and memorized and acted upon. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was stoning, and we too did stoning. But I am fearful that after passing of some time, people will say that we do not find any ayah concerning stoning in the Quran. It shouldn't be that the obligation that Allah has mentioned in His book, and people abandon it and become misguided due to it. The command of stoning in the Kitab of Allah is true. This is for one who fornicates and is married, whether it is a man or a woman, when there is proof, pregnancy, or fornicator's confession, then this is the punishment. This is in Musnad Ahmad. It is also mentioned, he stated in a khutbah or sermon, that people say they do not find stoning in the Quran. It shows that the companions were aware and fearful that the people start to say that they do not see the ayah mentioning the stoning. And it has happened today. People do say this. Don't the people look at the ahadith? They say that in the Quran it only mentions lashes. He added, remember that the Prophet ﷺ had it done in his time, and we too did stoning after him. If I wasn't afraid that people would accuse me and say that which was not in the Quran, Umar wrote it, then I would have had the ayah about stoning as it was revealed. So we learned that previously the ayah regarding the stoning was in the Quran. Then after that, its recitation was removed, but its command remained. The punishment of stoning is not only in Islam, as people accuse Islam of harsh punishments, and Muslims themselves feel shy about talking about these punishments. We see that in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, this punishment was the same for a married person who fornicated, and it is still present in their books. There are many matters that continue in our Islamic laws from the previous scriptures. One is punishment of a married fornicator, and the punishment of a murtad, a person who denounces Islamic faith after believing, their punishment being their being killed. This is as it is from the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, and that is also in the Islamic law. There is no need to feel shame in the commands of Allah, nor need to feel apologetic or feeling sympathy for those who are punished. We cannot be more sympathetic and merciful to others than the one who created them. The way Allah loves His entire creation, we cannot. We try to become champions of human rights and deny or question these punishments ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. In Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that save yourself from destruction, which comes from your denying of the stoning. Do not become perished by denying these punishments. If anyone looks online, there are people who say whatever they want. Therefore, we should be careful about whom we learn from. There are many deviated sects that make up their own facts and opinions. If we hold on to two things, we will never go astray. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about, the Quran and the Hadith. People openly deny the Hadith, deny even the Bukhari and Muslim ones. Then what can we do about those people? Perhaps they want to please others or justify themselves, and that's why they deny. Well, we should not feel shame about any of the laws of Sharia. Another aspect is how media shows a woman being flogged while she is on the ground. As we learn, Where would these punishments be carried out? Where there is an Islamic government which carries out the judgments according to the Islamic law. Today, there is no place where Islamic law is practiced. Therefore, no one is given punishment according to Islamic law, nor the Islamic laws are used, nor are the societies Islamic. Then they take hold of a woman and start flogging, while this punishment cannot be carried out until there is proof of the crime. No one can assert falsely that they saw the woman going somewhere with so-and-so. Either the woman confesses by saying herself four times. In a hadith, we learn about a woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told the Prophet about her committing adultery. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his face away. Then she said it again. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again turned his face away. Then when she said it the fourth time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her if she was in her senses. She said, "I am alert." Then asked if the person is mature with sound mental health and if she confesses herself four times. Or four witnesses come forth who are of sound mind and above the age of puberty and Muslims and just, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In doubt, take away the punishment. If there is doubt in the testimony of even one person, or if one is not mentally sound and is crazy, and if one turns back on their original testimony, as it happened at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one from the four witnesses said, 'I am in doubt.' He said that I saw, but not exactly as what I'm testifying for. Even if someone sees two people sitting together, not even then it must be clear, so clear that they must have seen the deed done with their eyes. Then four have to give testimony, which is not that easy. Sometimes flogging is shown openly without any proof. They do not show the man who committed adultery also being flogged. While there is no Islamic government nor Islamic court, so who are the witnesses who brought forth this crime? They do not show any of these facts of consideration. This is just a propaganda to defame Islamic law. One must also realize that in an Islamic society, if a woman is forced into prostitution because there is starvation in her family, an Islamic government has allowance specifically for the needy and provides protection to the vulnerable. If anyone asks for ayahs from the Quran regarding the stoning, we should tell them that if they believe in the hadith, then this is verified from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the story of the woman from the tribe of Ahmadiyya who confessed in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam herself that she had committed adultery, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent her back and told her to come back when the baby was born. When the baby was born, she came with the baby. Then the Prophet told her to go back and come back when the baby passes the age of nursing. This woman had so much guilt for her sin that she came back with her child when he was 2 years old. At that time, the child had a piece of bread in his hand. She told the Prophet to purify her, because they worried about the punishment of the hereafter. Then after that, she was stoned until she died. When some of her blood splattered on someone's clothes, they said, "Impurity from the impure woman." The Prophet ﷺ heard and said, "If her repentance was distributed for the entire city of Medina, everyone would have been forgiven. She repented so sincerely." There are a multitude of recorded examples of stoning from the time of the Prophet ﷺ and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In a Muslim narration, it is mentioned that the Prophet said, "Listen and obey to what I say. Listen and obey to what I say. Allah has made a way. If an unmarried woman does zina or fornicates with an unmarried man, then the punishment is 100 lashes and banishment from homeland for 1 year." And if a married person fornicates with a married person, then the punishment is stoning to death. This is a Muslim narration. Hopefully everything is clear about this matter. Also, as students of Quran, we should not speak negatively about these laws or object to them, nor deny that there is such a punishment. Now we will look at the two meanings derived from the next ayah. Firstly, الزاني لا ينكح زانية أو مشركة. A male fornicator does not marry except a female who fornicates or a woman who is an idolater. First of all, these men who are fornicators do not like to get married. And here, this is for a man who is a confirmed fornicator, not known by accusations alone. For a man who has four other men testify against him, that means this person commits adultery openly, and this is why he has so many testimonies against him, possibly punished, and has become a habitual fornicator. This type of a person would not take interest in marrying, and if he does, only does so with a woman who also fornicates or is an idolater. This person likes these kind of women and has no interest in pure and pious and chaste women, one with hijab and one who guards her chastity, and will only prefer someone like himself or a woman who is an idolater, who do not have any religious restrictions due to the lack of fear of Allah, nor they fear the day of resurrection, and adultery is common in them. So what we see from the Islamic laws is that they don't say just kill those who do this, but Islam gives laws that closes even the doors to this way so they do not end up in zina or fornication. Whether if we look at the commands of veil and restrictions in free mingling of men and women together, or the sanctity of home, and how when one goes to someone's house, has to get permission before they enter. Also, if anyone is a non-mahram for women, how much of interaction is allowed with them. Laws of everything has been defined so a person doesn't end up in this evil of fornication. All the ways leading to that evil have been closed. Only a person who disregards the commands of Allah and has bad habits will go to that path, while one who is decent and good will not get involved in this sin. We also learn in Surah Bani Israel, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Do not even go near the road to zina, or adultery, or fornication. It doesn't say do not do zina, but says do not even go near it, as when there is a pile of filth, no one wants to go even near it, and runs away from even the smell of it. Similarly, a true believer will not tolerate going upon this path. In Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 68 and 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, those who do not associate others with Allah and do not kill anyone whom Allah has forbidden, and they do not commit adultery, and whoever does this will face a severe torment on the day of resurrection, and their punishment will be doubled, and they will remain in the humiliating punishment for eternity. We also learn from the seerah, or the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he took a pledge from women who had migrated from Makkah to Medina. Even in their pledge, it was mentioned the command that they would not commit zina or adultery. This is how important this matter is. The Prophet ﷺ said that from the signs of the day of resurrection or day of qiyamah is that knowledge will be removed and ignorance will be prevalent and commonplace and alcohol will be drunk, and fornication will become a commonplace. This is in Bukhari and Muslim hadith. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that any woman who wears perfume and passes by people, so people smell her perfume from her, that woman is a fornicator. Smell that spreads out and that reaches those who are non-mahram for the woman, it shows that she is looking for zina and arouses feelings in men, so they turn to look at her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be three men, Allah will not even speak with them, nor will He purify them, nor will He show mercy to them, and for them is a painful punishment. Such warnings for these three type of men. The first is an old fornicator, despite his old age. He does not leave this evil. Normally, as a person ages, these feelings become reduced, but even reaching at this age, he persists upon this sin. Secondly, a king who is a liar, or a chief or a leader who is a liar. Even when they have reached such a high position and would not need to lie, but still continue to lie. The third is an arrogant beggar. He is a beggar and has nothing, yet he is proud. These three types of people Allah will not forgive, nor purify them, nor speak with them, nor look at them. Such severe sins and its punishment. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Ummah of Muhammad, I swear by Allah, no one feels more ashamed than Allah when His servants from men and women commit adultery. This is a Bukhari and Muslim hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ would frequently ask from his companions if anyone had seen a dream at the morning time. So whoever Allah willed would narrate his dream. One day the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed last night two angels came to me in my dream, and they woke me up and took me with them, saying, come with us. So I kept walking on with them. I saw naked men and naked women in a huge clay oven, where its bottom is wide and its opening is narrow, and below it was fire burning. And whenever the flame flared, those naked men and women would rise towards the top. When the flame was lowered, would go below. The angel said they were men and women who were fornicators. This is also a Bukhari Muslim hadith. We learn that whenever a person commits adultery or fornicates, their faith is gone. And when the person repents, only then it returns. So a fornicator has no iman or faith in their heart. In another narration, is Bazar, Burayda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the seven heavens and seven earths curse upon an old adulterer or fornicator. The stench of fornicators' private parts, due to it, even the other dwellers of hell will be in great suffering. Such horrible stench will be emanated from them. Astaghfirullah. In another narration, Abdullah bin Umar narrates that any man who sits upon a bed of a woman whose husband is not present, his example is of a person who on the day of judgment will have a black boa snake appointed over him, who will continuously attack him. For a person who commits adultery or fornicates in this world, they have a stern punishment of either lashes or stoning. Then how stern will be their punishment in the hereafter? Even if the person escapes the punishment in this life and no one learns about it, and the deed remains hidden, then who can save them from the punishment of the hereafter? This is why at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever committed the sin would come running to the Prophet ﷺ so they could be purified here in this life, and they feared the torment of the hereafter greatly. So the male fornicators, they do not have interest except in the women who are like him and who do deeds like them, and they continue with theirs and have no worry or concern, and they want to continue on without being stopped. Men like that are called the youth, who do not care if his sister, daughter, or wife, or even his own mother is involved in fornication, and doesn't have any objection to it. These men are without any shame. In hadith it is mentioned about the youth that Jannah is haram or forbidden for them. Just because he supports women's liberation or considers himself broad-minded and thinks there is nothing wrong with women being involved in relations, then upon this type of person, Jannah is forbidden for them. Under the name of freedom, so many evils are commonplace and committed. Similarly, the women who fornicate, وَالزَّانِيَةُ لَا يَنْكِهُهَا إِلَّا زَانٍ أَوْ مُشْرِكٍ, she will not marry except a male who fornicates, or a male idolater, and vice versa, only marries her who is an adulterer or a fornicator, and she herself only marries a fornicator. Men want women like them, and women also prefer men like themselves. They also like the youth, who will not stop them from their unlawful relations or even male friendships. They do not want to be questioned by anyone for whatever they do. So they are both comfortable with each other, and they are a match for each other. Another meaning is the relationships they keep. A male adulterer or fornicator will only have relations with a female adulterer or fornicator, or a woman who associate partners with Allah, who is an idolater. So they do not care and will have relations with those type of men. No chaste woman will want this type of a husband. And then for fornicating women, لا ينكحها, this also refers to her physical relation with a man, just like herself. No chaste man will take her as a wife, because وَحُرِّمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and Allah has forbidden that upon the believers. True believers do not fornicate. Rather, they stay away from this evil. And they want chaste women and are chaste themselves. We see in life that men of loose character also like women of loose character. A chaste man will only want a chaste woman. Another meaning of this ayah is that the wali or guardian of men who are adulterers or fornicators should not marry with chaste women, but should marry them to women who are also fornicators. A chaste woman will never tolerate that her husband is involved in affairs with other women. Also, if she tolerates, it is a punishment for the woman, because chaste women should not be married to these type of men. People can say they know of many men who are not faithful to their wives, while the wives are sincere. There are some exceptional cases, but as a rule, people should not marry their daughters or sisters to men who are indulged in this sin, but should look for men or for husbands, someone who is chaste and pious, because if the girls are chaste and pious themselves, then they deserve husbands who are like them. But sadly, the thing people look for in prospective husbands is if they are wealthy, financially well off, or they look at their profession. And even if they learn of the man's wrongful character, they say it's okay. They will get better after their marriage. While this is not a solution, our deen prohibits us from this. Unless if the person has sincerely repented, then this would not apply. Because a man came to Ibn Abbas and asked, there is such and such woman whom I used to have unlawful relations with, but now Allah has given us the ability to repent. I wish to marry her, but some people say that fornicators should only marry a fornicator or an idolater. Ibn Abbas said, this is not the meaning of this ayah. You can marry her now, and there is no sin in it, since they had both repented. So if they repent from the wrong they committed previously, then there is no harm in them marrying. What is important to consider? Who is suitable for the other? What we should remember is as mentioned in Ayah 1, that these commands are from Rabbul Alameen, and as Allah deserves to be obeyed, these commands should be obeyed and not taken lightly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a good understanding of these ayahs. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Suratun anzalnaha wa faradnaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayyinatin la'allakum tadhakkarun. Az-zaniyah waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhumā mi'ata jaldah ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية أو مشركة والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين.